this chair here. I got something else. It's okay. I like to do furniture removals. There we are. That's for me. Hello, everybody. So it's a tremendous joy for us. I know all speakers begin by saying that, but it's true. It's a tremendous joy for us. And my pet phrase is to say that I just want to see, look into the eyes of the people I'm going to be delighting in for all eternity in heaven. Are you all going to heaven?
Yes.
That's pretty good, but I think some seemed a bit hesitant, did you think? So are all the rest of you going to heaven?
Yes.
Because it's a decision, and it's a long journey sometimes, and if I don't really decide, there are going to be many obstacles. It won't be an easy journey. That's why we won't end up there kind of accidentally or automatically. So that's why it's important to really choose, say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And I used to think that, it's time Pauline said something first. I was about to take off there and I mustn't. I leave Pauline behind sometimes, which is very wrong, but she forgives me sometimes.
Forgive us as we forgive others, yes. 70 times 7, is it?
Yeah, that's it.
Just to say, really, for those who don't know us, how many of you have never met us before? Right, thank you. But just to let you know, that Father Lawrence and I did not choose to be together. We didn't put ourselves together. The prior in Clare Priory saw the way I ministered. He saw the way Father Lawrence ministered. And he said, I want you to work together. Well, neither of us were really very keen on that.
And the I have something on. And the first thing when we began to work together Pauline was with me there, and I was just about to pray with someone, and the next thing Pauline began to take the chairs away, and I said, Pauline, what are you doing? Because Pauline always prayed with people standing up and I always had people sitting down, so we had a major hurdle to begin with.
And this was only laying on of hands prayer. When we do healing and memories prayer, it takes a long time. We all sit down. But at the time, well, the thing was that I think part of the reason why we were put together was because there used to be lines of people waiting to see Father Lawrence. In their community, that can be very galling for other priests. You know, why aren't they coming to them? Why are they all in a queue here? But Father Lawrence, he was very lovely. He still is very lovely.
Can I have that in writing now? You said.
But you see, there was tea and coffee on tap. We said to people, help yourselves while you're waiting. And they'd have a cup of tea in their hand even, and he'd say, oh, can I get you a cup of tea? And because Father was offering, oh, thank you, Father. Yes, I'll just have another cup, you know. And so this really dragged it all out. And I think that was one of the reasons. But the other reason was that the gifts that the Lord has given to us both complement each other. And so if he hadn't had that insight, if Father Malachy Loughran hadn't had that insight, we wouldn't be here today now, would we?
It's most remarkable what the Lord has done. And it's just by... we just pray. But it really has been amazing. It's accelerating.
Yeah, we had to be a little bit obedient as well, didn't we?
Did you?
Yes. So did you. So that's just to give a... How long have we been together? Well, it's about 20 years, really. But healing of the memory is a little bit less. Today, it's about opening the eyes of the blind, isn't it? But during the time that we were here this morning and lunchtime, etc., one or two people asked me if they could have a copy of the poem that I read earlier. And because I told you that I would tell you about how it came to be, I thought, and Father Lawrence said, that's a good idea, I would read it again, if that's all right. And then it'll be on the CD. Is that all right, if I do that? And I just have to find it a minute.
No, it's all right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yes, the Father, from all eternity, has been waiting for this moment. Every moment of our lives is founded on the eternal present and the now of God. The now of salvation, as the liturgy speaks of, all the mysteries of Christ are here now, in you and in me. I knew nothing about this. I'd lived a lot of my life without realizing who people were. I think it's fantastic that God has... I mean, you probably don't know this. Do you know? You were created to love me. Did you know that? And did you know that too? Because you were as well. You were created to love me. You're not convinced, are you? We have only one Father. And this Father doesn't have grandchildren. I mean, there are daughters and sons in the South. So what does that make us? It makes us sisters. It makes us sisters and brothers. But I didn't take that as real. And the most amazing time I'm having now as I get older is meeting all of you and finding sisters and brothers. But I've received God's love for you, so even before I know you, I love you. You may not get a tenner if you come knocking on my door, but that's a fact. I have received God's love for you into me. It's His Spirit. It's the Spirit of adoption. And what has held me back for years was kind of half believing it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, of course I didn't deny it. Everybody knows it's the truth. But the reality is amazing. And it's not by getting to know someone that I love them. It's the other way around. I love people first. And so do you, by the way. I guess you didn't realize. You love people before you know them, with the Spirit of Jesus. Whereas in the world, you have to get to know people first and then decide, well, will I love this person or not? Pauline is ready.
But Father Aidan said this morning, didn't he, about loving...
Aidan, it's Aidan, isn't it? Not Adrian.
I said Father Aidan.
It's my hearing aid.
Yes.
Pauline has great patience sometimes.
He says sometimes, you hear that? I was trying to say something nice to Father Aidan. He was talking about loving, and I just want to remind you what he said, because he said love is a decision. It is a decision. We might not feel like it, like when we were praising. We might not have felt like praising, but that's a decision too. The feelings might follow. They might not, but we just keep doing it anyway. What I wanted to say about this poem... it was given to me immediately before a day of renewal in 1989. Look how long ago that is. And I just want to tell you that I've been coming to this day of renewal. I brought my youngest son here when he was a boy, and he's in his 40s now, so there you go. I've been a regular, really, in spirit. So my husband was supposed to be giving a talk at this day of renewal, the one in Southampton, but he was overburdened because of pressure of work. And to ease his burden, I heard myself telling him that I would give a talk. I heard the words coming out of my mouth. Don't worry, darling, I will give the talk. I'm not competent to do this. I wrote this then, 1989. I'm not competent to do this unless I have lots of preparation, and I only had 1 hour. Can you imagine? What was I thinking? That was a big push from the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? At the same time, thinking about this, what I was going to do, I was preparing the lunch, and I just sat at my kitchen table, and I asked the Lord for something. And the following is what he graciously gave to me. However, it was only in the evening, when I came home, that he gave me the last lines of verse 6 and the last two complete verses.
We're here on a day of healing today, and you might wonder, when is it going to begin? Mm-hmm. This is it. It's actually happening. Mm-hmm. So be very attentive to what the Spirit's doing now, what Jesus is doing among us, within us.
I thought, and I underline thought, I thought that I hadn't any more time to spend listening, as I had to get the books, guitar, electric fires, and everything packed into the car to go to St. Mary's College in time for 2 p.m. And so I was just totally reliant on the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Lord gave me. My love and promise to my people. My people, I am loving you from the depths of my own heart. Rest in me. I lift you up. My grace I will impart to you, the brokenhearted ones, and you who are so weary, forgotten, and rejected. I bestow on you my mercy. I am your shepherd, wandering the hillside and the byways in search of restless, tortured souls to bring them to the highway, where I will surely bandage them and soothe with oil of gladness their sores and wounds, thus raising them from all despair and sadness. Come now into my open arms, stretched wide for you, yes, you. I've waited for this moment, such a long time overdue. Drink of the sparkling water which has flowed out from my side. It buoys you up and brings you joy in waves as on the tide. It heals and washes clean again. It strengthens and renews. Oh, I'll keep my sheep in pastures green, no more to be abused. Come, little flock, there's so much more I want to give to you. My dearest ones, stay close to me. I'm keeping you in view. You do not know how dear you are. You think you have no worth. I want to reassure you, I chose you before your birth. Glory to God. And that was without changing any words. Without changing any words at all. And the Lord gave me the gift to write that, and then he gave me the gift to say something about it, which I'm not going to do today. You have your but you have it now on the CD if you want to ponder it and let the Lord speak to you through it.
Can we just pause for a few moments?
And I think what we can realize is that we really must rely on the Holy Spirit. I was going to say, we're not adequate. I mean, I can only speak for myself. I am not adequate. And yet, the Holy Spirit makes me adequate because he loves you.
This is absolutely crucial. It's what God wants, that we accept this reality, this truth.
And when we talk about healing, part of this healing is accepting who we are. We had a lovely... somebody spoke out this morning after the adoration. How we are accepted just as we are. The Lord calls us onto holiness, but he accepts us just where we are. And it's so important to recognize that. He wants to use us just as we are. And if Mary hadn't said her yes, we wouldn't be here. If Alistair and Elise and all the core group hadn't said yes, we wouldn't be here today. If the sisters hadn't said yes to letting us have this place, we wouldn't be here. If Father hadn't said yes, we wouldn't have had this Mass today. And so every person here has a yes in their heart. And what is God asking of you today? Because healing helps us to love ourselves so that we can go out and take God's word to whomsoever we might meet. We really have to begin to say, God created me, I'm lovable, and I love myself. If I don't feel that I'm loved or lovable, I will never go towards you. I'll just sit in a corner and just expect people to do something for me. Going back again to what Father Aidan said this morning, we have to take our place in the church. We have a place in the church, and we mustn't be infants in the church, which we are, quite a lot of us. If the microphone isn't working, do we go up and say, excuse me, Father, the microphone isn't working? Or do we just sit so that nobody hears anything, the priest doesn't communicate what he intended to communicate, and we don't hear anything? Have you ever been in that situation? Yes, yeah. Did any of you go up and tell him? No. Isn't that interesting? Very interesting. If you take nothing else away today, remember, if you can't hear the speaker, you have to say. They might tell you, get away, which has happened to me. Get away from me. Go away. Well, if they don't want to be heard, that's it. But if I'm afraid of rejection, I'll never do anything. Never. But we need healing for that. If we've been rejected forever, we will stick in that place of rejection. Say, I can't because I might be rejected. So today, ask the Lord, if you're one of those people, ask the Lord, Lord, give me the grace to be healed of this. Because sometimes we want to stay in our comfort zone. We don't really want to be healed. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the phrases of St. Paul is, may you love one another. And then he adds something extraordinary. And the whole human race, as much as I love you. I was really shocked one day when I discovered that, when I read that. Paul loved the people. He, as he says, he didn't just give, you know, the teaching. He gave himself, he gave his very life to the people, to the sisters and brothers. But then he makes this prayer, may you love one another and the whole human race as much as I love you. Now, when I watch telly, when I see the terrible suffering of so many people in the world, natural disasters, man-made disasters, and so on, you know, it can shake me a bit. How do I intercede? When I'm sitting in front of telly, how am I coping with the stuff that's flowing over us, so much stuff being sent out? Well, I am there with you. I am there in the name of Jesus. But that's what I didn't understand. I thought it was just Lawrence. And I felt, there's too much to pray for, Lord. I mean, you know, what difference can I make anyway? You know, all this kind of thinking. When in fact, God has given us the answer. The answer to everything is Jesus. And I didn't take this in. I'd taken in the doctrines, all the teachings of the catechism of the church, which are true. But what they were based on was on the word of God, which is a person. It's the fact of Jesus. And you know, every human being in the world was created to come to know the one we love, to come to know this Jesus whom we share. However, we've grown up in society very much on our own in so many ways, and so many people can't share with others this Jesus who is our salvation. And in the Psalms, God the Father has given us the very way Jesus prayed. And I say the office, I'm an Augustinian, we say the office and choir every day, you know, several times a day, and conduct that all my life for years. But I really hadn't taken in fully that Jesus was really praying through my desperation, my inability to do much to help, to change the world, you know, in the big picture. But when I realized that, wait a minute, Lawrence, don't you believe, Lawrence? Jesus is praying in you. Jesus has loved every one of these people, the Eskimos, the Japanese, the Irish, whoever. Jesus has prayed for each one of them. Jesus has suffered for them. Jesus loves them. And the healing comes from Pauline and me and you going to people in Jesus, in the Spirit, as daughters and sons of the Father. We have such a power. I mean, I'm awestruck when I see how God works through Pauline. You've been looking at it. This is God at work in Pauline.
It's my cue now to say, I'm awestruck when I see the Lord working through Lawrence.
She's actually picking it up at last. It took years to get this far. She thought I was flattering her.
He was putting a sprat to catch a mackerel, is that right?
Well, something like that, doesn't it? And in Psalm 91, if you have a Bible with you, I encourage you to open it. And if you haven't, be sure to have one the next time, because it proves you're a Catholic if you haven't the Bible. And that's not very good, you know. We really must feed on the Word all the time. But, you know, so many people, you know the way alcoholics cover the bottle with newspaper? Well, some Catholics want to hide the Bible. You know, they don't want to be seen in public. Are you going evangelical on me? You know? And it's Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus alive. So in Psalm 92, which you all know very well, we hear the Lord say this. Now picture Jesus. What did you say, Connie?
I said 91.
It's 91 brackets 92. I never get the two worked out. 91 brackets 92. You give the wild ox's strength. Can you say that after me? It's the psalm.
You give the wild ox's strength.
What was it? To me you give the wild ox's strength. Can we say that in faith together?
To me you give the wild ox's strength.
Do you believe that? I didn't. I really didn't. Because I limited God to what I could do, and maybe a little bit more than I could do. But that's not what it's about at all. Jesus wants me to surrender, but to believe that everything I say and do, he's speaking through me. And above all, he's working all the time, because he's changing me. And I can't get over, I'm the person. Should I give them anything and say? Yeah, so when you pray the Psalms, remember, Jesus said these words. Jesus believed these words in his humanity. And Jesus, so when I pray the office now, it's a different experience. It's not me trying to get at an inaccessible God or a remote God. No, Jesus is thriving in each of us in the church, despite our sins. He's working non-stop, all the time, delighting. The Lord delights in his people. I'm going to stop just now. To me you give the wild ox's strength. You anoint me with the purest oil. When Jesus said those words, what was he saying? He was talking about the Holy Spirit, wasn't he? The purest oil in the humanity of Jesus. The Spirit of God anointed him. And he was rejected. He had to carry the cross. And then picture Jesus saying this: my eyes looked in triumph on my foes. So as he was lifted up on the cross, he was triumphing, although he was crucified. But he was triumphing over sin and death. The book of the Psalms are a summary of the whole Bible. Really go for them and help us to bring the Psalms more alive in the church for all of us and for unbelievers. by naming what Jesus was saying and doing.
This is Luke chapter 4, and it's under the heading, Jesus is rejected at Nazareth, and it's from verse 16. And Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures, and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him as he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read."
Father Aidan's dismissal again comes back to us. Go and spread the good news.
Yes.
Jesus is risen.
That's right. And I'm sure there are people here who've seen the miracles that the Lord has worked. How many of you have seen miracles worked by the Lord? Yes. Several of you. Yes. And I think, Father Lawrence, you and I, we've seen a lot of miracles too, haven't
we? Non-stop and increasing, you know.
And the thing is that we can get a bit used to it. Mm. And we can wonder why somebody isn't healed straight away. But there are people who aren't healed straight away, and we don't know why.
Yeah.
We don't know why, but we are asked to go and lay our hands on the sick, and they will recover.
And do you believe that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm, it was a bit muted, wasn't it?
Do all of you believe that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know, it's a bit shocking, you see, because you can't half do this. There's an amazing word in James chapter 1, I think it's verse 9, where St. James says, if you doubt, the person who doubts must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. This has shocked me. Because, you know, most people seem to doubt, worry a bit. And James says, but if you doubt, you must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So God is calling us to firm commitment. Yeah.
Mm. And today, when you were thinking of coming here, I don't know what was in your mind at all, but you knew it was a day of healing, I think. Did you? Yes. And this starts with me. That's each one of you. It starts with me. And when I spoke to a priest once, and I said about my husband, "Oh, if only God would change Peter, you know, it would be fantastic." And this priest didn't know me at all. He said, "How can you change Pauline?" I said, "Me? I didn't think I had anything to change because I was okay." Oh dear, it's good for me to tell this. I've told this on more than one occasion because it's very good for the humility and to show the lack of it. if you want somebody to change, and this is part of the healing, ask the Lord to change you, if you dare, because it's quite scary when I ask the Lord to change me. Do you think it might be scary to ask the Lord to change you? I think deep down inside ourselves, we have a clue how we might be. People tell us, "You're this or you're that, you're the next thing." And we think, "Oh, well, that's them. You know, that's the way they see me."
I got a version of that call to say about a particular priest, and Polly knows, "Lord, heal in me what I see in Father X." Yeah. And I was quite certain that the thing that really annoyed and irritated me about Father X, I was quite certain I didn't have it in me. But when I began to say this prayer, "Lord, heal in me what I hate about Father X, the Lord showed me that I was identical and I had no notion of it.
That's right. Heal in me what I see that I don't like in the other person.
Just two other teeny little. I think it's the time of day I can tell you now. Last night I was screaming with a cold, and normally that cold would go on for about 2 or 3 days, and I have a bag with for tissues. I'd be going through so many of them.
And I've been trying to keep away from him.
And as I came along, I asked the Lord, you know, could you hear? And I've hardly sneezed today. That's a small thing. And two nights ago, these are small little things to ask Jesus. It's a bit tricky. Anyway, I was walking home from the hospital, and it was getting dark, and I was tired. And it's about a 20-minute walk, and I just said, oh, Lord, it'd be lovely if someone gave me a lift. I'd hardly said it when a woman pulled up the car and said, Father Lawrence, and called me across. Now, this is the... I'm finding the tenderness of Jesus is crazy, you know, because he doesn't save people dying of all kinds of things and so on. But on the other hand, he makes himself so close to us.
Well, it was interesting, even on the way here, the sat-nav brought us nearly to our destination, but not quite.
Oh, yes, this is the
and,
we met an angel.
Yeah, well, you better clarify that. An angel in inverted commas.
Yeah.
And, I just sort of pulled off the road. And Father Lauren said, well, there's a woman there. She'll know. Anyway, she had to climb up a bank to get to us. And she was an older lady. And she said, oh, well, I know that is where that is because I used to live up there. And she told us exactly where to go. And we were only a couple of minutes behind schedule, weren't we?
Yeah.
And... it made her day, certainly made our day, and that's just how the Lord works with us, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, she said to us, do you know, she said, the bus didn't come for me, and I walked. And I decided
to walk. And then evangelized her, as she does all the time. Watch it.
Oh, dear. No, it was simply that she said, I walked all this way, and I said, but it... if you hadn't walked, if you'd got the bus, we wouldn't have met you, and we wouldn't have known where to go. So thank you. You've been our guardian angel.
Yeah.
And our face lit up. She was so happy.
It was a very beautiful moment.
Yes. I got lost once before, and I didn't have a sat-nav, and it was very dark, and I had to get somewhere. And I pulled up, and there was a guy, Nigerian guy, and I asked him the way. And he said, just a minute, I'll just go and put my things away in my flat. And he came out, he got his sat-nav going, and he said, you'd better follow me, he said, because I don't think you'll be able to see me in the car. So he took me to my destination, and I invited him to the day we were doing the following day, and he came very happily. And the Lord had a plan for him, you see.
And in Hebrews, in chapter 13, we have these words that we all know so well. Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday, and as he will be forever. The center of everything is Jesus. Jesus' risen presence, his glory is here. He delights in everyone here. He's a perfect plan for you all, and he's working it out. And he's healing us now.
And just popping back to that Luke chapter 4, where Jesus read out, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. Well, we've just asked for the Holy Spirit to come upon us, haven't we?
Yes.
So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Each one can say that. Can you say it? The Spirit of the Lord
is upon me.
And what is he going to help us to do? Well.
And we believe all of this without doubt, you know. We proclaim these words as God's word to me.
Because he has chosen
any ifs and buts. Yeah.
Because he has chosen me, he sent me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bring good news to the poor.
When you go home, do they all clap their hands and say she's home? They don't.
Or he's home.
Well, we can become good news for everybody. Your healing today doesn't depend on the people at home changing. I live with five other men, and I could ring the next of a different one each day. And they're great guys, but I can't cope with them.
We haven't asked them what they feel about Father Lawrence, have we?
They can guess.
So we have all been sent to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people. And the Lord is relying on us. He's relying on us to do his work on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. I'd be terrified to stand up here now if I thought I was doing it all on my own. I don't mean just because Father Lawrence is here. But I mean that he would be relying on me to give you a message. I have it there, thank you.
He's just giving you a message.
Father Lawrence is just... you can do it as well because I have one here.
So
would you like to hold that?
We have a prayer that we use in this leaflet for this ministry to increase the healing of memories for everyone, that we all be healed of our hurts. And in here in this leaflet, the prayer is written by Cardinal
John Henry Newman
and Mother Teresa has it just a bit.
Yeah.
But there's an amazing statement in the middle of the prayer here, which I put to you now, halfway down. Paulie, will you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5 there.
Let them look up and see no longer me.
No, it's the shine for me. But...
I know it is, but the star is to us. Why don't we just say it?
Yes.
Yes, you have it.
You have
we'll
this.
We'll all say it together.
And Claire is giving copies of it to anyone who hasn't.
Yeah.
And It's an astonishing claim. See if you can believe this. When Pauline gave me this prayer, which she did, I thought, I don't think it's possible. It couldn't be like this. Let's say the prayer together first.
It's on the page where Mother Teresa is. Her picture is on the top of it. On the back, Olive. Radiating God's love. Together.
And this is the healing now, yeah?
Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and heart. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, dear Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others through me. Let me praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach you without preaching, not by words, but by my example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what I do, the evident fullness of the love my heart bears for you. Amen.
Can I ask you to repeat any line, to echo any line there, that speaks what's in your heart to Jesus? Can anybody begin by saying a line?
The light, dear Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be mine.
Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine. So to shine possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of yours.
And it doesn't matter if you have the same line.
No. We could go on, and we wish to go on, but I just want you to look at the fifth line down or the sixth line. Is this possible? Shine through me and be so in me, Lawrence, that every soul I come in contact with, watch this now, may feel your presence in my soul. I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that Pauline and other people could feel Jesus' presence in me and in you. And that's where I mean, half believing doesn't go anywhere. This has to be reality of our baptism. It's total immersion. You know, we're in John chapter 14, verse 20 says, on that day, which is today, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are, where does he say?
In me.
Did you know that? That Jesus is in you, you've just said. On that day, verse 20, 40, chapter 40, you will know, no one else need teach you, you will know yourself, that I am in the Father, and you are, and I am
in you.
And I am in you. It's compenetration. But it's to be believed and acted on and not to be wished about. It's sheer gift. We're jumping up and down with joy, not because we feel like it, but to glorify God. You know, when what's his name over there, Andrew?
Alistair.
Sorry, Alistair, I couldn't remember your name. I get worse. I was going to say that.
Anyway, you were talking about jumping up and down.
That's right.
And this is Isaiah 35. Verse 5, the blind will be able to see, and the deaf will hear, the lame will leap and dance, and those who cannot speak will shout for joy. Streams of water will flow through the desert, the burning sand will become a lake, and dry land will be filled with springs where jackals used to live, marsh grass and reeds will grow.
Last night, the Lord gave us, you must sing it now, I am the temple. Okay. Alistair, we just want to sing this one line. We don't need the music.
Well, we don't sing it as it's sung, actually, because I think it's very. You see, when some people have sung it in the past, it sounds like, no, you're not, no, you're not, you're the temple. It's actually, and so I like to sing it, do you know you're the temple? Because otherwise, it says, No, you not. You're the temple. But to me, it sounds like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're the temple.
Poor Pauline.
So Father Lawrence humours me, really. And please sing it.
No, you're not.
No.
You must make up your mind.
Do you know?
Do you know you're
the temple?
Do you know,
do you know
you're the temple? Do you know
you're the temple?
You are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Holy Spirit?
Yes. There you go.
Go.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm the temple. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm the temple. Are you? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm the temple. Not because I'm good.
I am the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Filled with power, filled with joy, filled with glory. You should be standing by now. Filled with power, filled with praise, filled with glory. Filled with power, filled with grace, filled with glory. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Do you know you're the temple?
That's the key.
Do you know you're the temple?
Do you know you're the temple? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And as the Lord continues to heal us just now, we could just do this in four parts, Polly. Jesus, Jesus, let me tell you what I know.
Start again.
Jesus, Jesus, let me tell you what I know. You have given me your spirit. Four parts. Do you believe that?
So you're the temple, you can sit down now.